How are we today? Bad? Yeah? Did any of you watch the Winter Olympics this year? Yeah, man, there were some good crashes, weren't there? I'll be honest with you, that's part of the reason why I watch it. I love the crashes, I love the spills. That might seem really weird, maybe a little bit evil, but that's just what I enjoy, I guess. Guilty pleasure, right? I've never once, it just reminded me of how insane some of these athletes are. It's ridiculous, really. Like, I've never really ever thought to grab three friends and say, hey, let's put some spandex on, let's get in a fragile piece of metal, and let's go careening down a tube of ice at 100 miles an hour. That's never entered my mind, and I'm a little afraid to ask my friends because I feel like some of them would say yes anyway, and that would be bad, and I'm scared. But I really love the strength. Amazing strength that some of these athletes have is incredible, and especially the figure skaters. You might say, well, figure skaters, ice dancing, what's that have to do with strength? Well, they're actually putting their partner in the air in a perfect pose while they're skating backwards on a very thin blade on ice. It's ridiculous when you think about the physics involved in that. The strength is incredible. And when I watch pairs figure skating, I think the same thing that all of you think. Every time there's pairs figure skating, I know this, you think, are these two married or is this guy stuck in the friend zone? That's exactly what you think. I know you think that every time. And maybe they should just announce that at the beginning of each couple comes out. Bob has been in the friend zone for 10 years, looking for his first gold medal. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Maybe we need to write the Olympic Committee with that. Some change, huh? Well, speaking of strength, I heard a story a couple weeks ago that really blew me away, and the story is this. There was a man, he was living by himself, and he was sickly, he was a weak man, couldn't really accomplish much at all, and he was living alone by himself in the woods, up in the mountains, in a log cabin, and in the front of his log cabin was a huge, monstrous boulder, a huge boulder, and God came to him one night in a vision, and God told him, every day for 8 hours a day, go and push on that boulder. Go push on that boulder. So he did what anyone who wants to obey God did, is that's exactly what he did. He got up the next day and he started pushing on that boulder. And the first couple of weeks went really well. He felt like he had a new sense of purpose in his life. He felt like he's a new sense of fulfillment in his life. And the couple of weeks went by. And on the third week, he started measuring where he was with the boulder. And on the sixth week, he measured where he was with the boulder. And he didn't even move the boulder a centimeter. It hadn't moved at all. And so at this point, you can think he's probably, you know, doubting the vision a little bit. And he's the next day he comes out and he just doesn't have the strength to push that boulder anymore. And so he just breaks down and he cries and he falls before the boulder and he's beaten, he's bruised, and he's failed. And God comes to him in that moment and asks him, why are you crying? And the man explains to him, God, you told me to push this boulder for 6 weeks, or every day for 8 hours a day, and it's been 6 weeks, and nothing has happened. It hasn't even moved 1 inch, 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter. And God said to him in that moment, he said, I never asked you to move the boulder. I asked you to push on the boulder. I asked you to lean on the rock. And it was in that moment that God brought him in front of a mirror. And where there once was a weakly, sick man looking back at him now, after 6 weeks of leaning on that boulder, pushing on that boulder, there now was a strong, muscular man looking back at him in the mirror. And the man knew in that moment that his strength didn't come from moving that boulder in his own strength. No, his strength came when day by day he put all his effort into leaning on that rock. That's where his strength really came. And a couple weeks ago when I heard that story, my spirit screamed out inside of me, and maybe God was screaming at me too. It's just screaming out, I'm that man. I am that man. I spent so much time in my life trying to move the boulders in my life, and I kind of keep a tallied score of the progress I've made, only to realize I haven't really made any progress at all. And I get discouraged with my progress. But I don't think I'm the only one who does that. I think all of us tend to do this in our life to some degree or another. We face the trials and the challenges that life inevitably just throws at us. And we think, we're kind of fooled into thinking, that we can move anything that's in our way. Maybe you're going through a financial trial right now. Maybe you're just having trouble paying the mortgage, or maybe your spouse is going to leave you, or maybe you have cancer, or whatever it is, whatever trial you're going through. When we face these trials, we try to move these boulders in our life in our own strength, we inevitably come to the conclusion that we're too weak. We're too weak. And we end up beaten, battered, bruised, and bitter. And that bitterness overflows into every single area of our lives. But this morning, I want to tell you about a better way. I want to tell you about a better way to live our life. In fact, I want to tell you about the best way to live our life. Because we all have a propensity to conquer things. We all have this propensity to do things in our own strength, to move the boulders in our life, but God comes up to us. God is saying the whole time we're trying to move things in our own strength, he's saying, I never asked you to move the boulder. I don't even expect you to move the boulder. No, what I've commanded you to do is to lean on the rock. And what he's saying in that moment is that he is our refuge and strength. What we're going to learn this morning is that God is our refuge and strength. God himself is our refuge and strength. Our refuge isn't found in the world. It's not found in the things we own. It's not found in the relationships we have. Strength is not found within ourselves. It's not found in our bank accounts. It's not found in anything in this world can offer. No, God himself is our refuge and strength. I'm excited to talk about that with you today. So turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, if you're not there already, feel free to pull it up on your smartphone, your tablet, whatever you have with you. If you need a paper Bible, I would like one to borrow this morning. The guys are around carrying them. Just raise your hand up. They'll bring one to you. Or if you want to sneak off and grab one in the back, that's totally fine too. But we at Trinity here in this Trinity family, we believe that this is the very word of God. And every time we open it up, we can expect God to speak to us. And that's where we're going to come this morning with expectation in Psalm 46. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to worship you together as your church. And Lord, each and every one of us have a strong propensity to try to move the boulders in our own life, to try to do it in our own strength. And God, you call us not to move the boulders, but to lean on the rock. And Lord, the truth in your word this morning, may it just radiate into our hearts. Each and every one of us have various areas of unbelief in our souls. And Father, we just pray this morning that you would show us where that is. But Father, you would give us more belief. Help us with our faith. Give us what we need more than anything. That's faith in you, Jesus. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to dive right in. Psalm 46. If you don't know already, this Psalm series, what we're doing is everyone who is up here on the rotation to preach is actually picking out a psalm that's meant a lot in their life, or to be honest with you, some of us just like, God told me to preach that psalm, so I'm going to preach that psalm, and it's that simple. This morning, Psalm 46 is one of my favorite psalms. It's meant a lot in my life, in my wife's life, our family life, as we've just tried to have faith in Jesus, and God is our refuge and strength in our everyday life, and so I'm excited to share that with you this morning. And God just told me this last week, you've really kind of stunk at this psalm. But I want to preach it through you. I want to preach it through your weakness. And so this last week, God has taught me a lot and taught me over my spiritual walk through this psalm as well. But Psalm 46, verse 1. Verse 1 is really the main idea, the big idea of this whole psalm, okay? It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's the big idea. And everything else after this is kind of fleshing that out. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Doesn't our world kind of seem like it's careening out of speed? at a breakneck speed, and it seems like it's going faster and faster every day, and it feels like the earth is crumbling underneath us more and more every day. As we face the trials and challenges in our own lives, maybe you're just experiencing that right now. It feels like the earth is giving way beneath you. It feels like the waters are roaring and foaming around you. It's inevitable. Because you see here in verses 2 and 3, it doesn't say if the water or if the earth gives way, if the mountains move into the heart of the sea. No, it says what? Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Because the psalmist is explaining here, he just assuming, which is the right assumption, that trials and challenges in our life, they're inevitable. They're just part of life. And if you haven't experienced that already, I guarantee you, you will. This life is a roller coaster. There are things, there's ups and downs, emotional, physical, everything, spiritual. But what we do in those seasons of life, what we do in those downs, what we do in those seasons of life, what we believe, more importantly, what we believe in those seasons of life is either going to make us or break us. And there's a myth going around as well, and it's been around for a long time, but I think a lot of people think it's scripture. There's a myth going around that God will never give you more than you can handle. I want to let you know this morning, that is a lie. That is a big lie that's not found in this book. God is always willing to give us more than we can handle. Because if he only gave us more than we can handle, if he always just allowed us to move the boulders, he just gave us little tiny boulders in our life to move them, guess what? We would never reach out to him. We would never find him as our refuge and strength, the true refuge and strength who brings peace and righteousness and fulfillment in our lives. And he desires that relationship more than anything. So he is more than willing to put monstrous boulders in our life that we cannot handle. Because guess what? He knows he's our refuge and strength. God is always willing to give us more than we can handle. I bet many of you in this room here have already experienced that. You've had things in your life, you're like, well, this is more than I can chew right now. And it's what you believe in that moment that's going to make you or break you. And I want to challenge you this morning to believe that God is your refuge and strength. Verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, in order to kind of understand this section of the psalm, you have to understand the kind of society that the psalm is written in. It was written in an agricultural society. You guys know what that is? So everything... Really, the success of society, success of civilization was all determined by how fruitful the harvest was, by how fruitful the crop was. And a city that would have a river running through it would have a huge advantage. Because guess what you need for a fruitful crop? You need what? You need fertile ground, you need sun, and you need what? Water, right? So a city that had a river running directly through it had a huge advantage. And that river really symbolized sustained success, sustained growth in a city, in a civilization, in a society. And God is that river in our life. God isn't just here to swoop down and help us when we need help. No, he sustains us. God isn't just a helper, he's a sustainer. And I think many of us, and I've been there in my own life, we kind of treat God as a blessing dispenser. As a vending machine, I'm going to put my quarter in. I've been good this week. I'm going to put my quarter in and get a blessing out. But no, that's not relationship. That's robotics or something. I don't know. He wants a relationship. And whether we actually admit it or not, he's actually sustaining us right now. I'm taking these breaths right now because God, my Father, is sustaining me, sustaining my life. And he wants to sustain you through every trial, through every challenge in your life as well. And that's what he means when he says, you don't move the boulders in your life. No, lean on the rock. Lean on the sustainer of life itself, the creator of life. Verse 6 says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, there are times in my life when I have, and one of those, it really comes up every time I see a school shooting in the news. And I always think, God, are you really in control? Like, did you go like leave the wheel and go get a snack on that one? Or like, what's going on here? Did you have to go take a bathroom break? Like, what's going on? It didn't seem like you're on the wheel at that one. That seemed like senseless evil. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. But God's word makes it very clear. And I've even experienced this in my own life. That just because there's silence doesn't mean God is absent. Just because there may be a moment of silence in your life does not mean God is absent. And we know from God's word, and we know from how he's worked out things in creation, that God still has the whole world in his hands. No matter what happens, he is our refuge and strength. And because of that, we can be still and know that he is God. He commands us, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's saying, be still. Stop trying to move the boulders in your own strength, in your own life. No. Stop trying to move the boulders and lean on the rock. Stop striving in your life and start believing. You will come to the conclusion that you cannot move that boulder. And that doesn't mean it cannot be moved. It just means you're not the one doing the moving. God is our refuge and strength. And so that's it. That's all for today. That was record time, right? You guys are really riled up now. That's Psalm 46. You see, a lot of these psalms, actually most of these psalms, are songs. They're songs. And really, all of Psalms is really kind of the big hymnal of ancient Israel. Israel would have been singing these songs for thousands of years in religious ceremony and in the temple. And every good Israelite child would have grown up singing these songs, even Psalm 46, as we're in today. Jesus, as he grew up and in his adult life, would have been singing the Psalms. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus would have sang Psalm 46. He would have sang Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. I'd be remiss today. I could just say, hey, God is our refuge and strength. Let's go home. Leave and believe in that. But I'd be remiss. It'd be a tragedy if I didn't tell you about the power of this. Where the power really is in God is our refuge and strength. And if I told you just to leave this morning and lean on God as your refuge and strength, I think we would take it as another boulder that needs to be moved. I'd be remiss, it'd be a tragedy this morning if I didn't tell you the most important thing about Psalm 46, the most important thing about God as our refuge and strength, and the most important thing about Psalm 46, the most important thing about God as our refuge and strength is that it's not possible without Jesus. Psalm 46 is only possible with Jesus. Because Jesus, at the crucifixion, when he was on that cross, hanging on that cross, Psalm 46, God as our refuge and strength, was essentially stripped from Jesus so that we can sing it forever. Psalm 46, God as our refuge and strength, was taken away from Jesus at that moment so that we can sing it forever. Now let me unpack that a little bit for you this morning. It says in John 12:27, Jesus is going, he's looking towards what's ahead. He's looking towards Jerusalem. He's with his disciples and he's looking towards the cross. He knows exactly where he's going. And he says this, he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this purpose, I have come to this hour. Now, when you look, I found something really interesting this last week, and maybe it's not interesting to you. This might get kind of scholarly for you. But when you look at Psalm 46 in the Septuagint, which I know all of you did this morning in your devotional time, you looked at Psalm 46 in the Septuagint, right? Yeah, you guys are passionate about that. What the Septuagint is this, is in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, right? The New Testament is written in Greek. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Okay? That's what the Septuagint is. And troubled in the Greek here, this is the New Testament, right? John 12:27. Troubled here, when Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, that word troubled in the Greek is actually the same word in the Septuagint for Psalm 46, for verse 3, waters roaring and foaming, mountains trembling at its swelling. Now, this is a little scholarly, so stay with me. Jesus is experiencing, in the most real way, Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3. The waters are roaring and foaming around him as he looks towards the cross. The earth is giving way beneath him. And you see the truly man side of Jesus come out. And he's having every single emotion that you would have if you knew you were going towards your death. Jesus is nervous. He's anxious. Because he's about to walk into the greatest terror ever known in the history of the universe. He's about to walk into the greatest storm ever in the history of our world. And he's doing it willingly, and he's doing it for us. That raging storm, that dreadful storm, that terror that he's walking into is the complete wrath of a holy God. Complete wrath of a holy God. You see, because from the beginning of time, sin has been bottling up. It's been piling up here on the corner. It's been bottling up and bottling up. And because God is completely just, because he is completely loving, but he's completely just, that sin needs to be paid for. It needed to be paid for. Justice needed to come down on that sin. And Jesus, while he's on that cross, the wrath for all that sin of the world, your sin, my sin, every person's sin is poured out on Jesus. And he takes on the greatest storm, the greatest terror, the greatest dread to ever face the history of the universe. And he's doing it for us. And it's on that cross when he's hanging there and he cries out, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" It's in that moment that God the Father is not his refuge. God the Father is not his strength. And it says in God's word that while the Father's wrath is poured out on him for your sin, for my sin, that the Father turns his face away. And he forsakes his Son. And Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, is stripped away from Jesus. It's taken away from him in that moment, so that we can sing it forever. He has taken that wrath, that terror, that storm. He has faced the greatest fear of all time so that we don't have to fear. He has faced the greatest fear of all time so that we can be empowered to face the lesser ones. And I want to get to something this morning. I'd be unloving if I didn't tell you this, I think. And it's politically incorrect. It makes some of us very uncomfortable. But it's God's word, it's God's truth. I just want to let you know this morning that without Jesus, we have everything to fear. Without Jesus, we have absolutely everything to fear. Because while Jesus took on the punishment, he took the punishment we deserve on that cross for all this, for all of our sin, our past sin, our present sin, our future sin. He took it all on the cross. And what we're commanded to do is just believe in it, receive that gift, trust in that gift. But if we don't believe in that gift, if we don't trust in that gift, then it makes it very clear in God's word that that wrath is now hanging over our heads. And at that point, waters roaring and foaming and earth trembling and giving way beneath you are the least of your problems. Without Jesus, we have everything to fear. And if we don't put our faith in him, if we don't put our trust fully in him, then those moments in life when we face the trials and the challenges to come, we can't really say God is our refuge and strength. It says in God's word, it makes it very clear that our natural selves, in our natural state, we are children of wrath. Meaning that wrath is naturally hanging over our heads because we have sinned. Because a completely holy God, we have rebelled against him in our hearts, with our actions, willfully and unwillfully, just part of who we are. And Jesus went to the cross. And if you believe in him this morning, if you believe, you put your trust in him, then he took that wrath for you. He took that punishment for you. And if you believe in that, if you put your trust in that, then you can sing with confidence, you can say with confidence that God is your refuge and strength. But without Jesus, we have everything to fear. With Jesus, we have nothing to fear. That's the truth. That's the gospel. Verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Because of Jesus, because he's taken that wrath for us, our Heavenly Father now sees us as not deserving wrath anymore because he took it all. If we put our faith in him, God now sees us as righteous. He sees us as through the lens of Jesus, as living a righteous life, as now being holy. And we can now be a holy habitation of the Most High. If we put our faith in him for taking that wrath, we are seen as a righteous dwelling. And that Holy Spirit is now deposited within each and every believer. It says this in John 7, 38 and 39. Jesus is saying this. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this is, he said, about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. God's very presence within us is now that river in the city. It's now that river that sustains us. And now, because Jesus took that wrath, we now have the very presence of God within us. We now have God as refuge and strength in our very souls. His presence is within us. We are now a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of us. We shall not be moved because he is our refuge and strength, and he is permeating within us. God will help us when morning dawns. That very refuge and strength is now within each and every believer. It says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. The world may seem out of control, but because of Jesus, because of what he did at the cross, we have complete evidence, complete proof of God's faithfulness to restore all things in creation. And in those moments when it seems like there's no one at the wheel on this earth, seems like there's no one in control, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus is the evidence that God is willing and able to restore all things and to redeem all things for himself. And it's the evidence that God had been working out a plan from the beginning of creation to do just that, to restore his creation. And that includes you, that includes me. Jesus on that cross, because Psalm 46 was stripped away from him, because God as his refuge and strength was stripped away from him, we can now sing it forever. We can sing God is our refuge and strength. Oh, it's beautiful. And because of that, because of Jesus, we can be still. Because of Jesus, we can be still. And because Psalm 46 was stripped away from him in that moment, we can be still and know that he is God. We can be still and know that God still has the whole world in his hands, that he's still in full control. We don't need to strive. We don't need to wreck ourselves striving for righteousness and peace and fulfillment in our lives. We don't need to move the boulders in our life. No, because of Jesus, we can lean on the rock. Because of his sacrifice, we can completely lean on the rock. Jesus accomplished the peace, the righteousness, the holiness, the fulfillment. He accomplished that for us. And so now, we can actually sing Psalm 46. We can sing Psalm 46 in a more real and relevant and powerful way than ancient Israel ever could. We can sing it in a more powerful and relevant way than the psalmist ever could imagine we could sing it. That's because of Jesus. Because in that moment on the cross, it was taken away from him so that we can have life. So be still this morning and know that he is God. So many of us get caught up in the tyranny of the what if. What if I lose my job? What if I get cancer? What if my spouse dies? What if my spouse leaves me? What if I can't pay the mortgage? And it enslaves us. It chains us in our life. But because of Jesus, because he faced the greatest fear of all time, we can now live in the freedom of the even though. Even though my spouse may leave me, even though I may get cancer, even though I may face the trials and the challenges of this life, everything that comes at me, even though those things may happen, I can have peace. I can have satisfaction. I can be fulfilled. I can have joy. I can find strength. I can find refuge. So let's stop living in the what if. Let's start living in the even though. Only possible through Jesus. So I want to challenge us this morning, be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that Jesus has overcome. Be still and know that Jesus is your salvation. Be still and know that God still has all things in his hands. He's proven it. He is faithful. And the cross is the evidence of the faithfulness of our God, the strength of our God, the power of our God, the love of our God. Be still and know. Stop striving. Stop trying to move that boulder and start leaning on the rock. Stop striving and start believing in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. That's where the power is at. That's where we find God as our refuge and strength. And when we believe that, when we start believing that, it says in God's word that we are living stones, now housing the very great presence of God. God is a refuge and strength. We're housing the refuge and strength within each and every one of us. And it says God is building his temple with these living stones, each and every believer. He's building his temple, the church. And when we go about our everyday life as these living stones with the refuge and the strength within us, God within us, we can't help but permeate it into the people around us. And broken people find hope. Broken people find salvation. Broken people find Jesus through us. And when they do that and they start to worship Jesus, they choose to follow him. Those living stones are added to the temple. And that temple keeps growing. The church keeps growing. And God uses the temple. He uses the church to literally shake the hell out of our families, shake the hell out of our schools, shake the hell out of our workplaces. And he uses that temple. He uses these living stones, these little presences of his refuge and strength in the community to bring restoration, to bring renewal, to bring redemption. And it's these living stones, it's us, the church, as this temple that accomplishes the mission that he's given us to make disciples. But it all starts with Jesus. It's only possible through him, and it all starts with the church. It starts with us. It starts with being still. Stop striving and start leaning on the rock. Start believing. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And when we do that, we're going to see a community transformed. And that temple is going to be built to monstrous proportions. And it's going to shake the earth. And it's in those moments we will see even more, it'll be revealed to us even more, God's power to redeem all things to himself. So let's stop trying to move the boulders. Let's start leaning on the rock. Let's stop trying to move things in our own strength, in our own life. And let's start leaning on the rock. Start leaning on the cornerstone. His name is Jesus. He faced the greatest fear so that we don't have to fear. Facing the greatest fear so that we can be empowered through the Holy Spirit, through his refuge and strength to face the lesser ones. Let's stop striving. Let's start believing in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And only then can we say confidently that God is our refuge and strength. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for what you did in going to that cross. We can't thank you enough. Lord, every single one of us, we have this natural reaction to try to move things in our own strength. You don't call us to do that. You don't expect us to do that. No, that's only in your power. No, you call us to lean on you, to lean on the cornerstone. For everything to be built on the cornerstone, that's you, Jesus. You are our renewal. You are our redemption. You are the life. You are the truth. And Holy Spirit, I pray this morning as we leave this place that if there's areas of unbelief in our lives, as there is, you know, Lord, in every single one of us, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us and lead us in surrendering that to you, Jesus. And stop moving the boulders and start leaning on you. Oh, your gospel is so beautiful. Your plan is beautiful. We know you've been working it from the foundations of the earth, it says. Lord, you have all things in your hands. And when this earth seems to be giving way, Father, give us the faith. Give us the belief to trust in you. Through your Son, Jesus. Give us that strength as we leave today, we pray, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.